Power prices in every eastern state except Queensland have surged over the past few months as a cold snap and low output from wind and solar have forced up gas usage. The Minister for Energy and Climate Change, Chris Bowen, says it's a reminder of the need to get more renewable energy projects into the system. Key players in the renewable energy sector will gather in Sydney today for a summit aimed at finding ways to speed up our stalled energy transition. Attending the summit today is Satya Tanner, the CEO of LawTech Australia. It's a Danish firm providing consulting and IT services for renewable energy projects. Satya joins us. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, Patricia.
You are an engineer by trade and you specialise in wind energy projects. Are you surprised that wind farms have become so contested and controversial in our country?
Look, to be honest, no, in the sense that, speaking as an engineer, you know, engineers are very good with technical solutions, but really when it comes to, you know, the rollout of any kind of infrastructure in communities, it's about how we roll those things out that makes the difference and the way that we listen and communicate that makes the difference. So the issues that we see in Australia, frankly speaking, we see everywhere.
So it's really, there are similarities in the debates we're having everywhere, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so you lived in Denmark working on wind farm projects for 7 years. Denmark began commercialising wind energy in the 70s. But how did they overcome the resistance that we are facing here?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. And if I can just start with just a little bit of context. So in Denmark in the 1970s, they were really facing the effects of the oil crisis. And as a result, they realised, look, we really need to get some energy security. We need to be less dependent on oil and gas because it is going to run out anyway. And look what it's doing to our prices. And so as a result, there was a huge movement amongst the citizens whereby a lot of them actually started to find ways to generate their own power through wind energy. And when I say their own power, I mean through community groups and things like that. To the extent that where in 2001, 86% of all of the turbines had some type of financial participation from local communities. And so I think this is the key that Australia can potentially learn from, is how can we find ways to get financial participation as opposed to, say, just benefits for communities? How do we get more people onto the ownership side of the equation rather than being seen as being on the cost side of the equation?
So what is the answer to that? Because, are you talking about if you own a farm, actually, you know, being someone who owns the wind farm as well?
Yeah, exactly right. So it's a type of co-ownership. And so in 2009, the Danish government actually set out a law that said anyone who lives within 4.5 kilometres of an onshore wind farm needs to be offered up shares in the project, up to 20% of shares in the project. And actually, because development of onshore wind farms in Denmark started at a grassroots kind of level, you might say, and then through the various changes that happened regulatory-wise or, other things that kind of happened historically, it started to move to become more of a top-down approach. And because of that, there started to be a lot of community resistance because people were feeling like, hey, you know, where do we have a say in where these things go and how these things are going? Because what would happen is developers would head out and they would maybe strike a deal with a farmer. This is going to sound pretty familiar, I think. They would strike a deal with a farmer, and then that farmer might have a great lease opportunity with a wind farm developer and the utility, but everyone else in the community was left out, right? And so what they started to understand is you need, when it comes to community participation, there's three elements to that. There's the information, there is planning participation, and there is financial participation. And they did that through co-ownership structures.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast. It's Thursday morning and our guest on the radio is Satya Tanner, the CEO of LawTech Australia, talking about how we can change the way we engage with the community on renewable energy projects. How big a shift do we need to make in Australia and the way that we're doing this?
Yeah, look, that's a really good point. There are a number of shifts that need to happen. You know, from a policy point of view, government really needs to help shape the type of outcomes that we need. So for example, right now, like for a lot of utilities, this is quite a challenging, concept. You've got, and they saw that in Denmark as well, right? So they had a situation where the utilities were coming in and the utilities don't have a granular understanding of necessarily what's going on on the ground. And so as a result, when those who were smart enough to bring communities in and actually get involved in the planning process in various ways, they got much, much better outcomes. But that can be a pretty scary proposition for utilities who might be more commercially driven, because they might see it as a risk when in fact community participation, be that First Nations or be that just regular communities, usually de-risks projects. So government also has a role in this, in helping to shape the policy that incentivizes utilities to be able to take that risk and go ahead and do it.
Many people listening right now will have seen a significant increase in their power bill this quarter, partly because output from wind and solar was lower than expected, particularly wind, I think, has been struggling recently. How important do you think gas will be as a backup fuel in future decades?
Look, I mean, backup fuel, I think, is the right way to frame that. We don't have enough renewables in the system at the moment. So once we get more renewables in the system, then the backup needs will decrease over time, right? So there's always going to need to be some kind of, backup if we haven't, overbuilt things enough. But we are going to see that will decline over time once we get past a certain hump.
Is the government open? I mean, you've no doubt had conversations in all of these consultations. Do you think the government is open to making some substantial shifts in its rollout of renewables for that community license and that participation to increase?
I think they are open to this kind of dialogue because, right now the industry is looking for solutions, right? And I do think that the Danes, have been there before. So it's not exactly the same solution that we need, but the principle of financial participation, the principle of something being locally rooted and for the citizens is something that I think, the government, in terms of the conversations that I've had, they do seem to be open to these sorts of principles. It's just a case of like, how do we get that going?
Thank you so much for joining us, Satya.
Thank you.
Satya Tanner is the CEO of LawTech Australia, talking about renewable projects and that social license you need when you are rolling out big, big projects like that. There is lots of community opposition.